sailed. I have moved about this world of ours, and ever in search of the finest of its kind, we bring you the tops in Spine Chillers.
This is Bruce Kaplan welcoming you back to another episode of Radio Masterpieces. We have two wonderful programs for you tonight, and happy Mother's Day to all you wonderful mothers out there. We're going to begin with a great song by the wonderful singer Patti Page, The Irish Lullaby, Tuara Lura Lura. And that's because of Mother's Day. And then we're going to continue on with a fantastic episode from the great series of Suspense, and we'll conclude with Mr. and Mrs. North. Mr. and Mrs. North was kind of a takeoff on the Thin Man movies. It was a husband and wife team of detectives. Did you ever notice that almost every husband and wife team in crime detection on the radio and TV always succeeded? There was McMillan and wife. There was The Thin Man, Mr. and Mrs. North, Heart to Heart, and it just goes on and on. If you have any questions for me, please don't hesitate to write to Bruce at RadioMasterpieces.com, and I'll be sure and answer your questions. Thanks so much for tuning in, and now let's enjoy our great programming.
Song to me in tones so sweet and low. Just a simple little ditty in a good old Irish way, and I'd give the world if she could sing that song to me this day. Tooraloo, 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 hush. Now don't you cry. Tooraloo, tooraloo, that's an Irish lullaby. In dreams I wander to that cot again. I feel her arms a-hugging me as when she held me then, and I hear her voice a-humming as in days of yore, when she used to rock me fast asleep outside the cabin door. hush, don't you cry.
And now, tonight's presentation of radio's outstanding theater of thrills, Suspense. Tonight, the story of a man who tries to escape his past and is faced with no future. We call it Nobody Ever Quits. So now, starring Tom McKee, here is tonight's suspense play, Nobody Ever Quits.
Come right up.
Fill her up.
Yes, sir.
Well, you better check the oil and water, too. Hey, you got any hot coffee inside?
Yeah, hot and black.
Oh, that's for me. Must be close to zero.
Not that bad. Down around 20. Drop tonight, though. Radio says we might get a blizzard.
And they call this sunny California.
Well, we're more than 5,000 feet here. 6,500 at the top of the pass up the road a piece.
Yeah, I know. I just came over it.
Heading north?
Yeah, Vegas. How far is it from here?
Well, let's see. 260 from Victorville. Victorville's 32 from here. What's the matter? You lost?
What makes you think so?
Well, Cajon Pass is the direct route. Not many cars come over the mountains in the winter.
Say, ain't I seen you someplace before?
No, not unless you've been through here before.
No, never. I mean back east someplace. You come from back east?
Never been. Come from up north, Wairika.
Yeah, that's funny. You take that mustache off and you'd be a ringer for a kid I once knew back in Jersey City. Joey Perino. Funny.
Yeah. Lookalikes. You run into him sometime.
Yeah. You sure you were never back east?
Yeah, sure.
That's funny. Without that mustache, I'd swear
you'd be mistaken.
Yeah, I guess so. Well, where do I find the coffee?
Right inside, sir. Sally will take care of you.
Oh, you better check the battery and the tires, too, huh?
Sure thing.
Oh, I'll have a cup of black coffee,
yes,
please.
Yes, sir.
In the mountain regions. Tonight's storm is expected to bring at least 6 inches of snow down to about the 3,000-foot level. Now let's get back to the music.
Here you are.
Oh, thanks. This coffee feels good. It sounds like you might be snowed in. Oh,
won't be the first time.
That might be dangerous, considering...
Oh, no. I'm not expecting until April. We never get any snow that late.
Not even when the weather's unusual, like they say out here?
Well, it's never that unusual. You better get Walt to put your chains on.
Oh, I haven't got any.
Well, then watch your step going down the hill, particularly Moose Jaw Curve. It's bad in the snow like this.
Oh, thanks. I'll remember that. Is, he your husband?
Who?
The fella gassing me up, this, Walt.
Yeah?
You two all alone up here?
Oh, there's my dad. He'd better get a move on or he won't get up that mountain tonight.
Oh, where is he?
Went down to Victorville this afternoon for supplies. Seems to me you're asking a lot of questions.
Yeah, maybe I am. I'm sorry. Just that traveling alone like I am, you get lonely. It's nice to talk to someone.
Sure, I know it is.
You born around here?
No, up north.
Wairika?
Yeah. How'd you guess?
Well, your husband said that's where he comes from.
He did?
Yeah, doesn't he?
He said he did, didn't he?
Yeah. Say, you ever hear of a guy named Joey Perino?
No. Why should I?
Your husband looks like him.
What if he does?
Nothing. You ever been east?
Nope, never outside the state. You ask more questions than a cop.
Don't worry, I ain't no cop.
Well, it's all set to roll.
Oh, I need any oil?
No, full up.
How much do I owe you?
Let's see, 12 gallons, that'll be $3.95.
Was that plus the coffee?
Compliments to the management, the policy of the establishment. Free coffee during blizzards. All right, Sally?
Yeah, sure.
Here you are.
I'll get you change.
Hey, don't bother. $3.95 for the gas and 10 cents for the coffee. I got a policy, too. I don't take handouts.
Oh, but Walt was only
trying... I don't want to be owing anybody anything, sister. Particularly rats. Be seeing you, Joey.
Joey? What do you mean, Walt, calling you Joey?
That's nuts.
He asked an awful lot of questions.
What kind of questions?
About me, about you. Said you told him you came from Wairika. Why'd you tell him that?
Look, honey, the guy's nuts. I never told him I came from Wairika.
You never told me where you came from either, Walt. You just said you came from back east.
Well, what difference does it make?
Didn't then when we first met. It doesn't now if you tell me it doesn't.
All right. I tell you it doesn't.
Okay. Forgive me for being foolish. That man had me scared. The way he asked questions, the way he looked at you. He called you Rat. He called you Joey.
Oh, he's nuts, honey. Come on. You better get to bed. It's going to be a long, cold night.
All right. You coming?
Yeah, in a little while. Won't be much more business in this storm.
You know something, Walt?
What?
I love you. I love you very much.
Is that a fact?
Las Vegas Inn. Good evening.
This is Victorville, California. I have a person-to-person call from Mr. Pirelli.
Hold the line, please. I'll try to locate Mr. Pirelli.
Hello.
Mr. Pirelli?
Yeah?
I have a long-distance call for you from Victorville, California.
Who's calling?
Just a moment, please. Who's calling, Mr. Pirelli? Mr. Battaglia.
Okay, operator, put him on.
Go ahead, sir.
Hello, Pete.
Yeah, Bat, what are you doing in Victorville? You're supposed to be here by dinner time.
Yeah, I know, but I sort of got lost in the mountains.
Yeah, figures. I know you get lost in Jersey City.
Yeah. But wait till you hear what I found.
A gold mine, I suppose.
No. Joey Perino.
You're kidding. Where?
In a gas station back in the hills.
You sure it's Joey?
Well, sure I'm sure. He's got a mustache, and he's got a wife, and he calls himself Walt something or other, but it's Joey, all right.
Did he recognize you?
Well, sure he did, but he didn't let on. I thought I'd better tell you...
Hey, wait a minute. If he recognizes you, he'll take it on a lamb.
Oh, not a chance, Pete. He's up there all alone with his wife. She's in a family way, and it's blowing up a blizzard. He wouldn't risk getting her out in this kind of weather.
Hey, where are you?
In a joint called, White Spot.
All right, now you sit tight. I'll be there in a couple hours.
Well, how are you going to do that?
I'm going to charter a plane.
But, boss, I'll be glad to handle them for you.
Hey, I'm sure you would, Bat, but this one I want to take care of myself in my own way, if you get what I mean.
I get what you mean. I'll wait for you here, huh?
What's the name of this place where he's at?
Walt Summit Service. Why?
Thought I might give him a ring before I leave.
And tip him off?
No, I'm going to offer him another chance.
Are you kidding?
What do you think?
Walt Summit Service. Good evening.
Hi, Joey.
You must have the wrong number. This is Walt Summit Service.
No, Joey. I got the right number. This is Big Pete. Remember me? Pat just told me he was by your joint a little while ago.
There's some mistake. I don't know what you're talking about. This is Walt Summit Service.
Okay, Joey. If you want it that way, it's Walt Summit Service and you're Walt. But back in Jersey City, you're still Joey Perino to all the boys. And Joey, the boys miss you. All of them. But me in particular. I miss you so much, Joey, I feel I just gotta talk to you.
I'm sorry. You have the wrong number.
Walt?
Yeah, honey?
Who was there?
Hey, you're supposed to be asleep.
I was just dozing off and the phone woke me up. Who was it, Walt?
Somebody had a wrong number.
Well, it took you long enough to tell him.
Guy was drunk or something.
Oh?
Look, you go back to sleep, honey.
Aren't you coming?
Nah, I don't feel very sleepy. I'll sit up a while and wait for your dad.
Oh, I don't think he'll try to come up the mountain tonight in the storm and all.
I'll sit up a while anyway. Keep the coffee hot in case he does.
All right, honey. But don't make it too late. I get lonely in here without you.
I know, darling. Look, you go to sleep now.
From Point Conception to Point Doom. The Weather Bureau predicts that close on the heels of the present storm is another developing off the coast of Northern California. This is an undisguised blessing for the farmer in the San Joaquin County, the growers in Orange County.
Walt Summit Service.
Hi, Joey.
Wrong number.
You should not have hang up on me, Joey.
Wrong number.
You listen to me and you listen good. I want to talk to you and I'm gonna.
You got the wrong number.
Okay, Joey, okay. Now you listen. You know a joint in Victorville called the White Spot?
Yeah, I know it.
Good. I'm at the airport in Vegas. I'm taking off of here in 5 minutes. You take off in 5 minutes too, Joey.
Look here.
Don't hang up on me again, Joey. You listen to me. Take you about the same time to get down off the mountain as it'll take me to fly to Victorville. You meet me in the White Spot. Now, that's an order.
I don't take orders from you anymore.
You'll take this one or I'll come up there and shove it down your throat.
Listen. Highway patrol car just pulled up outside.
Are you kidding, Joey? Well, you think you can scare me off with them two-bitted cops?
I'm not trying to kid you, Pete.
That's my boy, Joey. You finally acknowledge your old boss, huh? Now, you ain't gonna squeal at him, Orange Pickers, are you, Joey?
I'm not a squealer, Pete.
Ain't you?
No.
How do I know?
I'm telling you.
So how come you took a powder on me 2 years ago? How come? How come you just blew?
I just wanted out.
Hey, Walt. You in there?
Yeah. I'll be right there.
Who are you talking to?
State cops, I told you.
Well, you gonna tell them why you walked out on old Pete?
I don't tell nothing to nobody. I just want to be left alone. I wanted out, I got out.
You ain't out, kid. Nobody ever quits.
Look, leave me alone, will you, Pete? Sure, so I worked for you. I drove for you. I don't know nothing. I ain't talking.
Sure, you ain't.
I gotta go now. Just let me alone, Pete. For the love of heaven, let me alone.
Walt, there's someone at the door.
I know it, honey.
Who are you talking to now?
My wife. She's awake.
Well, you get rid of the cops, Joey, and you send your wife back to bed, and you'll meet me in 2 hours at the White Spot in Victorville. You got it? You better be there, Joey. Or I'm coming up the hill for you.
Oh, Miss Parson. Sorry I disturbed you, ma'am.
Oh, that's all right, Sergeant Toohey. Walt was on the...
Yes, Sergeant. Some crackpot. Second time he's called tonight. Got a wrong number. He can't get out of his drunken head.
I just stopped by to see if you folks were all right.
Oh, sure. Snug as a bug in a rug.
Have a cup of coffee?
Well, yes, thanks, Miss Parsons. I guess maybe I dropped for that, too.
I thought maybe you might have an ulterior motive.
How's the weather outside?
Tain't fit night for man or motor car. The pass is closed, and we won't be able to get plows through from the other side until tomorrow forenoon.
Well, that's what you can expect in February.
Yeah. All those jokes about unusual weather. Fellow lives his life in California like you and me, and, well, we know how she goes, eh, won't.
That's a fact.
The There you are, Sergeant. Sugar, cream, and hot, I hope.
Oh, wonderful, Mrs. Parsons. Just as advertised.
Sally.
Yes, darling?
Like the sergeant says, ain't a fit night out for man or motor car.
Yes?
I thought maybe we might put him up for the night.
Well, of course. Well,
no, I wouldn't want to inconvenience you.
Oh, but it wouldn't
not,
be.
Not at all, Sergeant. No inconvenience at all. We sure like to have you stay.
Well, that's right nice of you, believe me, but I've got to get down on the road.
But it's after 10 now. You're off duty.
Yeah, and my relief comes from the other side of the mountain, and he ain't going to be able to get through, so I guess I'm still on duty.
Well, what is there to do now?
You never can tell in a storm like this. Orders are to patrol the highway.
But the highway is likely to be closed.
Right, so I'll patrol it until it is. Thanks for the coffee, Miss Parsons.
Sure you won't stay?
Well, thanks, but I can't.
Won't be any trouble, Sergeant.
Thanks, anyway. Oh, say, that car out front.
What car?
Well, a couple hours ago when I was going up the pass. That pink and gray job you were gassing up.
What about it?
In any trouble?
No.
Huh. I just wondered. Hope he got done all right. Cars like that weren't designed for this kind of country.
No, I guess they weren't.
Nor its driver.
Huh?
Screwball. Maybe a little loaded, I don't know.
Mm. Yeah. Well, good night, folks. And thanks again for the coffee.
You're welcome.
Night, Sergeant. Well?
Well?
I'll get it.
No, I'll get it. Walt Summit Service.
You ain't left yet, Joey? Get gone.
You got the wrong number.
Again?
Again.
What is it, darling?
A screwball.
What's he want?
Who knows? He's drunk. Come on, let's go to bed.
I'm not very sleepy now. I know what. We'll sit up and wait for Dad.
He won't make it now.
He might.
Let's go to bed, I said. Didn't you hear me?
I heard you. All right, we'll go to bed.
Well, go then. I gotta lock up.
All right, honey. Walt?
What?
What's the matter?
Nothing. Nothing's the matter. I gotta lock up, that's all. Go on, go to bed. Stop asking a lot of stupid questions.
That'll be 20 cents for 3 minutes.
Well, how'd you guess it'd be me, Joey?
Let's cut the kidding.
I'm not kidding, Joey. I'm disappointed. I'm real disappointed. I fly all the way down here from Vegas just to talk to you. What happens? You ain't got the courtesy to come down the hill to see your pal. How come you ain't here, Joey?
I'm not coming, Pete.
You're not?
No.
Well, then I guess I'll just have to come up there.
Nobody's asking you.
Joey, that's no way to talk.
Lay off, will you, Pete? I ain't done nothing to you.
You walked out on me, Joey. Nobody walks out on Big Pete. I'll see you in an hour. Joey, don't try taking a powder. A fella at the bar just told me the pass is closed and the only way out is down the hill, Joey.
I know it, but it...
Want to change your mind and come on down, Joey? Joey?
Were you flashing, sir?
Yeah, I was cut off, operator.
Just a moment and I'll try to connect you. I'm sorry, sir. There seems to be trouble on that line. Probably the storm.
Thanks.
He ain't coming?
Don't worry, it couldn't be better. Line just went out in a storm.
And the pass is blocked. Oh, what a sweet setup.
Yeah, ain't it? All right, come on, let's go.
A pleasure.
Yeah.
Come to bed.
I can't sleep.
Why not?
I'm worried.
About what? Where are you going? What are you putting on your coat for?
I gotta go down the hill.
What's the matter, Walt?
I'm worried about your dad, honey. I'm going to look for him.
Now, you know he's probably staying down at the Rances. If you're worried, telephone
him. No, I tried. Line's out. I gotta go look for him.
But, Walt, you can't leave me here alone.
I gotta, honey. I gotta.
But, Walt, I'm afraid.
There's nothing to be scared of. You'll be safe here.
Your gun. Why are you taking your gun?
I feel better with a gun.
Looking for Dad? Walt, you're keeping something from me. Who's been telephoning all night? Has it got something to do with that man who was here this evening? Tell me, Walt. You've got to tell me.
There's nothing to tell. Now, look. Go back to sleep.
No, I'm going with you.
You can't go out in this storm.
If you're going to look for Dad, I'm going with you. After all, he's my father.
Get back in bed, honey. Please.
If you promise you won't go out.
I can't. I gotta go. I gotta go alone.
Then it isn't Dad. It's something else.
Look, honey, don't...
Hey, how come the place all lit up like a Christmas tree? Can't be that much business tonight.
Oh, Dad, thank goodness you're here. This silly husband of mine was going out to look for you. He was afraid you'd skidded into the canyon or something.
Old mountain man like me? Oh, fiddlesticks. Glad you're dressed, though, Walt. I promised Sergeant Tui I'd send you down the road to give him a hand.
Accident?
Yep. Went through the guardrail on Mule Shoe Curve. Durn fool was driving without chains. One of these fancy new two-tone jobs.
Dad. Was it a pink and gray hardtop convertible?
Well, Tui didn't specify, but he recognized the driver. Big shot gangster from back east, he said. didn't know the other fellow.
Were they hurt?
Hurt? Yeah. They're both as dead as last week's hamburgers.
Okay, I'll get going. Honey. Will you put the gun back in the drawer? I'll be back in a little while.
All right, honey.
Dad.
Well.
See she gets to bed, will you? She hasn't had much sleep tonight.
Don't worry. I'll sleep now.
Good. You know something?
What?
I love you. I love you very much.
Valley 103.1.
Mr. and Mrs. North, starring Barbara Britton and Richard Denning. Listen as Pam and Jerry solve the mystery, Runaway from Murder. The office of the president of the Gordon Electrical Appliance Company is a large and cheerful room. But the man who sits behind the desk in that office has little in common with his surroundings. He is neither large nor cheerful. He's a small man, small, tired, worried, and frightened.
Yes, Miss Nichols?
Mr. Schaefer of the Seaboard National Bank calling, Mr. Gordon.
Oh yes, put him on. And would you come in, Miss Nichols?
Yes, sir.
Hello, Greg. What's the news? Only 30 days, but I asked for a three-month extension. I know, but... Yes, I understand, Greg. I see. Well, thanks for calling.
Is something wrong, Mr. Gordon?
The bank is giving me only 30 days more on my loan instead of 90. You don't have $100,000 you could lend me, do you, Miss Nichols?
I wish I did, Mr. Gordon. You could have it.
Thank you, Marjorie.
What are you going to do?
Oh, I'll raise it somehow. Has that production curtailment order gone out?
Yes, I distributed it first thing this morning. You look terribly tired, Mr. Gordon.
I am, a little.
You should try to get away for a few days.
That's impossible right now. I was hoping I could run up to Syracuse for my class reunion. I haven't attended one in 10-12 years. Would you believe it, Miss Nichols? When I was in college, the one thing in the world I wanted to do was write.
Why didn't you?
Don't get me started on that, or I'll be telling you my life story. You're much too easy to talk to, Miss Nichols.
Maybe that's because I like to listen to you talk.
Thank you. Mind if I quote you to my wife and children?
Oh, by the way, Mr. Gordon, Mrs. Gordon called while you were out and asked me to remind you to send a check for $500 to Howard's for the coat she bought for your daughter.
$500. All right, Miss Nichols, that'll be all.
Yes, sir. Oh.
Good afternoon, Miss Nichols.
Mr. Harris, I didn't see you.
My uncle in?
Why, yes, but
thank you.
I don't think he wants to be disturbed.
Well, Hillary.
Hello, Uncle Russ.
I just got back in the office and I found this on my desk.
The curtailment order?
Yes. What does it mean?
Just what it says, Hillary. I can't afford to throw any more money into heavy appliance production.
Am I being transferred to another department?
No, you're going to be laid off, just like the rest of the people in your department. I'm sorry.
Does Aunt Frieda know this?
I didn't discuss it with her, if that's what you mean. And I doubt if she'd be particularly interested. She's rather involved in planning the autumn festival at the country club.
Yeah. Well, you ask me, this is a pretty rotten thing to do.
Now, look, Hillary. I realize that the prospect of having to go to work for the first time in your life comes as quite a shock to you. But that's it, and I don't want to discuss it. I'm tired, and I have a life on my mind, and right at the moment, I'm fed to the teeth with greedy, grasping, selfish relatives, including you. Now get out!
Gary, look at all these wonderful books. Do you think Mr. Gordon really wants to get rid of all of them?
No, I don't think he wants to get rid of any of them, Pam, but from what he tells me, he has no choice. His business has been going badly, and, well, he needs every cent he can get.
But all these beautiful editions. It must have taken years to collect them. And when I think how hard I worked to raise those chrysanthemums.
What chrysanthemums?
In back of the house.
Hmm? What on earth are you talking about?
Chrysanthemums.
Oh. Stupid of me, isn't it? I thought we were talking about rare books.
We are.
Good. Oh, for a minute there, I was afraid I was getting confused.
All that work for nothing, and you don't even remember.
Remember what?
The chrysanthemums in back of the house.
What house?
See what I mean? In Connecticut.
Hmm?
Don't you remember? That summer we rented a house in Connecticut, and I spent months babying those mums. And then we moved back to the city before they bloomed. I never got to see them bloom.
Mm-hmm.
It nearly broke my heart. That's how Mr. Gordon must feel.
Why? Has something happened to his chrysanthemums?
No, Jerry. These books.
Oh.
He spent years collecting them. Now he has to give them up.
Yeah. Before they ever even bloomed.
Oh, Jerry, you know what I mean. You think I'm being silly.
Yeah. And I could kiss you for it. But now let's look over the rest of these chrysanthemum books. I promised to tell Gordon what I think he can get for them, so I'd better get to it.
Come in.
The North's gone.
Yes.
What did Miss North say about the books?
He says I can get 25,000 for them.
25? But you've paid a lot more for them than that.
Jerry knows the rare book market, Frieda. And on a forced sale, that's all I can hope to get.
Then where's the rest of the 100,000 coming from?
From the liquidation of the heavy appliance division, sale of the machinery, inventory. I've already made a deal with American Electric.
This is almost like starting all over, isn't it?
We'll pull through it. Have you talked to Hillary?
He telephoned. I made it clear to him that I wouldn't try to influence your decision.
Well, thank you, Frieda.
I'm sorry you can't make a place for him in the company, but if you can't, well, we have to look out for ourselves.
Frieda.
Yes?
What you said a moment ago about starting over, it will be, in a way, in the work I'll have to do. And I...
What, Russell?
I don't think I can do it.
But you just said we'd pull through.
And we can, if we want to. But I don't. I'm tired, Frieda. I want to quit.
Quit?
Let the bank foreclose. Let it have the company. I hate it. I've always hated it, really.
But what would you do?
I wouldn't do anything if I didn't feel like it. We could get by. We'd have 6,000-7,000 a year.
6,000 or 7,000 a year? We couldn't live on that.
Not the way we're living now, no. But we could sell this house and the place in Southampton, get rid of the servants and one of the cars and buy a little place.
Have you gone completely out of your mind?
Is it such a crazy idea?
It's insane.
Why?
This is our life.
What kind of a life is it?
A good one.
Good.
Yes, Russell, a very good life. I like it. And so do the children. I'm sorry if you've decided you don't, but it can't be helped.
Rita.
And after 25 years of asking me to expect one thing, you can't suddenly change your mind and ask me to take something else.
But...
You've grown almost to hate me, Russell. Yes, and the children, too, because you think we're selfish. Well, what do you call this preposterous idea of yours? You're 50 years old, Russell. You're not a child. And our life isn't a toy you can toss aside because you're bored and tired.
All right, Frieda. Forget it.
Where are you going, Russell?
Nowhere, Frieda. Nowhere at all. Except to bed. Is Miss Nichols in, Miss Rogers?
She's in your office, Mr. Gordon. Good morning, Mr. Gordon.
Good morning, Miss Nichols.
I was looking through your desk for the copy of the contract with American Electric.
It's in the lower right hand.
I found it. And I found this.
Give me that.
What were you going to do with
it? Give me that gun.
No. Not until I know what it was doing in your desk.
That is none of your business.
I'm making it my business.
All right, Miss Nichols. I bought it with the idea of using it on myself.
You're a fool.
Perhaps. But now that you know why the gun was in my desk, may I have it, please?
Take it.
Thank you.
You won't use it.
Won't I?
No, Mr. Gordon. You're not the type. You haven't the nerve. All you like to do is think about killing yourself. It excites you. It excuses your mistakes. It convinces you that you're all alone and misunderstood.
I hired you as a secretary, Miss Nichols, not
but
as a...
You're not alone or misunderstood.
No?
No. Russell, not if you don't want to be.
I think perhaps you'd better go, Miss Nichols.
All right. But let me tell you something, Russell.
I don't...
Just one thing. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe you will use this gun. But if you're that desperate, why don't you live instead of die?
What do you mean?
You have $50,000 from the sale of machinery to American Electric.
Yes.
And you get 25 more from the sale of your library. $75,000.
Why, you suggest...
I'm suggesting we take that money and go away.
We?
We, Russell, yes. You and I.
But Frieda...
Oh, don't think about Frieda. Think of yourself. Think of me, Russell. Look at me and think about me. I can give you life, Russell, life. She'd have your insurance. You wouldn't be around to annoy her. Use it and she'll dance on your grave. But come with me and...
But, Mother, it isn't mine, really.
Well, nothing is yours unless you take it.
Where would we go?
Anywhere. Everywhere. It's a big world, Russell. It's a wonderful world.
Marjorie.
Oh, Russell, you'll never regret it, I promise you. Hello?
Hello, darling.
Oh, hello, Jerry.
Oh, I'm glad I caught you before you left. I want to change our date.
Oh, Jerry, you can't make it?
No, darling. We'll still have lunch, but instead of coming to my office, can you meet me at Russell Gordon's office? He's in the Harwood building.
Well, I guess so, Jerry.
Good. I have a certified check for him for the books, and he asked me to bring it over and have lunch with him. He wants to talk to me.
What about?
Well, he didn't say. Why?
Well, I just wondered if I'd be in the way.
Why, darling, how can you think that?
I don't. But I was just wondering.
Yes, Miss Rogers?
May Mr. and Mrs. North see you, Mr. Gordon.
Mr. and Mrs. North?
Oh, yes. Tell them I'll be right out.
Well, what are they doing here?
I'm having lunch for them.
It's nearly 12:30.
It's all right. I'm all packed. I have the bags and briefcase right here. I'll take the North down to the cafe in the building.
Did you have to make an appointment for today?
Yes. Jerry found a buyer for my books.
Oh.
He got a certified check, and he was going to mail it. The only way I could get it today was to suggest lunch.
All right, Russell. I'll meet you at the airport. The plane leaves at 2.
I'll be there.
For your sake, I hope so.
Hello, Miss Rogers. Is my husband in?
Oh, hello, Mrs. Gordon. No, I don't think he's back from lunch, but I'll... Oh, excuse me a minute. Gordon Appliances, good afternoon. Mr. Gordon, who's calling, please?
Consolidated Airlines? Well, I'm sorry, Mr. Gordon isn't in. Can I take a message?
Airline? Here, let me take that.
One moment, please. All right, Mrs. Gordon, you can use the phone on the desk. I'll connect you.
Hello, this is Mrs. Gordon speaking. What is it?
What?
What reservations? Today? I see. Well, Mr. Gordon isn't here. He's the only one who can confirm it. I'll tell him when he comes in. Goodbye. They wanted to confirm two reservations for the 2 o'clock plane today. What do you know about this, Miss Rogers?
Nothing. Mr. Gordon didn't say anything about going away. Could it be a mistake?
It certainly could. But I don't think it's the airline who made it.
And how's Mrs. Gordon? I haven't seen her since... Mr. Gordon?
What? Did you say something, Mrs. North?
Well, I just asked about Mrs. Gordon.
Frida. Yeah, she's fine. Well, I've got to be going.
But I thought you wanted to talk to me.
It'll keep, Jerry. Thanks again for helping with the books.
Oh, I was glad to do it.
Now, I really must get back to the office. But you folks finish your lunch. Don't let me interrupt. Don't get up, Jerry. Thanks again. I'll be in touch.
Jerry, what on earth's the matter with him?
Business worries, I guess.
Oh, Jerry, look.
What?
He forgot his glasses, left them on the table.
Oh, yeah. Well, his office is in the building. Let's finish our lunch and then we can take them up to him.
All right. You know, Jerry, it's strange.
What is, darling?
Well, a man who makes as much as Mr. Gordon does, having to worry about money.
Well, it doesn't matter how much you make if more goes out than comes in.
But why should it? Look at you. You don't make nearly as much as Mr. Gordon, and still you can eat your lunch in peace.
Well, maybe that's just because we spend everything I make, not more. We'll just leave the glasses. No use going in to see Gordon since he's so on edge.
All right, Jerry.
Maybe we won't after all. There doesn't seem to be anybody here.
Golly.
That was from the inner office.
Look, somebody's coming from Mr. Gordon's office.
Holy.
What's the matter with her?
She's fainted.
Oh, Jerry, we better go in and see what happened.
Yeah. Uh-oh.
Jerry, it's Mrs. Gordon.
Yeah.
She's all bloody. Is there anything we can do for her?
Let's see. I'm afraid not, Pam. She's dead.
Oh, here comes somebody. It's Mr. Harris, Mrs. Gordon's nephew.
Mr. and Mrs. North, what are you... Aunt Frida.
Don't touch her, Hillary. She's dead. She's been murdered.
Good Lord.
We'd better call Bill Wigand.
And as you came into the building, you saw your uncle getting into a cab.
Yes, Lieutenant. He was carrying a suitcase.
Have any idea where he was going?
No. No, none.
Bill, Miss Rogers is feeling better now.
Oh, the receptionist? Oh, that's good. Come along, Mr. Harris.
Yes, sir.
Miss Rogers, this is Lieutenant Wigand. How do you do?
Just a few questions, Miss Rogers.
What was so awful? So horrible. I went into Mr. Gordon's office because the light on the switchboard wouldn't go out. And there she was.
Yes, she fell against the phone and knocked it off the hook. That's why the light flashed. Now, Miss Rogers, Mr. Harris tells me he saw Mr. Gordon leave the building and get into a taxi carrying a suitcase. You know where he was going?
No, but Margie, Miss Nichols might.
She isn't here.
Not here? That's strange.
What makes you think Miss Nichols might know?
Well, she may have made the reservations.
Reservations? What reservations?
With Consolidated Airlines. They called earlier to confirm two reservations.
Two reservations? Bill, do you suppose that could explain where the secretary is? Could she be with him?
Could be, Jerry. Miss Rogers, are you sure the airline didn't say what plane the reservations were for?
I don't know where it was going. Mrs. Gordon took the message.
Oh?
But she did say what time the plane left. 2 p.m.
2 p.m. Let's see, it's 2 now. Pam?
Yes, Bill?
Get to the switchboard. Get Consolidated Airlines on the phone right away.
What are they waiting for? Why don't they take off?
For heaven's sakes, Russell, relax.
We've been sitting here for 10 minutes. Where's the steward this time? I want to ask him. Oh, where is it?
can't.
Everything will be all right.
I hope so. Wait a minute. We're not taking off. We're turning around.
Maybe they're going to use a different runway.
Let's see. No, we're taxiing back to the loading gate.
What is this?
Darling, don't worry.
Do you think... Do you suppose it has anything to do with us?
How could it? Who'd be checking with the airline so soon?
You never know. I called Frida Guy. Maybe it started something. Why did she have to come to the office today anyway?
What?
Nothing. We're stopping.
Well, now just sit tight. It might have nothing to do with us.
But they're rolling out the steps. Look there.
Where?
There's a police patrol car out there. Here come two policemen up the steps.
Russell, maybe we can...
Give it up, Marjorie. They're coming for us. We're too late, that's all. 25 years. Too late.
It's been quite a while since the police phoned that they took Mr. Gordon and his secretary off the plane, Jerry. I wonder when they're going to get here.
Well, it takes at least half an hour to get in from the airport, even in a police car, Pam.
But it's been a half hour.
Jerry, you say you know Gordon.
Oh, here they are at last. Hello, Russ.
Oh, hello, Jerry. And Hillary, what are you doing here?
I just came to pick up my things.
Russ, this is Lieutenant Wiegand of the police.
Look, Lieutenant, you have no right to hold me. The money from the books belongs to me. As for the rest of it, there's no proof I wasn't going to repay the bank. Frida's just trying to make trouble.
What'd you say about your wife trying to make trouble?
Well, isn't she? Isn't that why you're here? Because of her?
Yeah, that's why we're here. But what's this money you're talking about?
Well, didn't she tell you?
She didn't tell us anything.
I don't understand.
Well, I'm not so sure I do either. Now, suppose you answer my question. What's this money you're talking about?
Company money.
What'd you do with it?
Well, it's right here. My briefcase. I was taking it with me.
Here.
It's all in...
What's the matter?
It's not here.
What?
The money is... It's not here.
Russell, look! The briefcase is just stuffed with old papers.
Yeah.
Russell! Mr. Gordon. All right, Jim, that's enough. Now stop it.
Where's Frida? I want to find out what she did with the money. She must be the one who took it.
When?
While I was at lunch. When I came back, she was in my office. I thought she acted strangely. When I told her I was going away on an overnight business trip, she didn't even ask why I hadn't told her about it. She knew I was lying. She knew I was running out, but she didn't care. She was happy to get rid of me, I suppose.
So you saw your wife after lunch?
Yes.
And when you left, was she still alive?
Of course she was still alive.
She's been murdered.
Murdered?
Russell, you didn't
know.
Miss Nichols, when did you leave the office today?
12:30.
And you didn't come back again?
No.
Oh, Bill.
Yeah?
Would you come over here a minute? I'd like to tell you something.
Sure.
What is it?
Mrs. North, you both must know that I didn't, that I wouldn't. No. How could anyone know?
We'll do what we can for you, Mr. Gordon.
I'm sorry, Mr. Gordon. I'm afraid I'm going to have to ask you and Miss Nichols to go down to headquarters with me.
Jerry, what did you tell him?
Never mind that. Let's go.
Can't I even call my lawyer?
From headquarters.
All right. Let's get it over with. Come on.
Do you want me to go too, Lieutenant? No, Mr. Harris, you can stay here. But I expect you to be available if I want to talk to you again.
Of course, Lieutenant.
Let's get going. All right, Gordon, Miss Nichols, wait right here till I come back. And then I advise you not to try to leave. Now, Jerry, you and Pam come with me and we'll see if you're right.
Okay, Bill.
Where are we going?
Around to the side corridor. Jerry has an idea the murderer will give himself away. Well, after all, he didn't have much time to hide the money.
What?
Here, we can hide here and see around the corner if we hear the door open.
Right.
You see, Pam, Mr. Harris told us that when he was coming in the building, he saw his uncle getting in a taxi.
That's right.
Well, that was 1:45, but Mr. Gordon was on the 2:00 plane, and it takes at least half an hour to reach the airport from here. You said so yourself.
Uh-huh. Well, so he couldn't have been here at 1:45.
That's it, Pam. So Mr. Harris was lying. I guess what happened was that Mrs. Gordon took the money out of her husband's briefcase while he was at lunch. And then the nephew killed her to get it from her.
And you think he hid it in the building?
Yes. Then he came right back to the office and pretended to be just arriving so that if anyone had noticed him enter the building, he'd be able to say he arrived after the murder.
He wanted to clear himself and wanted the chance to accuse his uncle.
Oh, there's a door opening.
Stay back. Is it Harris, Bill?
Yeah. He's going down the hall, stopping by a door. I think it's a storage closet. He's looking for something in there. You know, this could be it. I better go and see.
Come on, Jerry.
Find anything, Harris?
Oh, Lieutenant!
Bill, he's trying to get away.
Stop, Harris. Stop or I'll shoot.
Don't shoot again. I'll stop.
All right, Harris. Just stay where you are and stop whimpering. Just a warning shot. It didn't come anywhere near you. I'll take that bundle. I have an idea it's going to be a lot more damaging to you than the bullet I just fired. All right, let's go. Hey, Pam. Come here, see what I brought you.
A present, Jerry? What is it?
Well, remember when we were looking over Russ's collection? Remember what you said?
About how much I like the books? Oh, Jerry, did you buy one of them? Which one?
No, Pam, I didn't buy any of them.
But, Jerry, I thought you said... Oh, Jerry, how lovely.
Right?
Oh, you're a darling. Oh, how sweet. A bunch of chrysanthemums.
The deepest sea, I know whose tears would come down to me, my mother. For the world may call you failure, and the fates may grind you small, but in the eyes of your mother, you're as big and as great as them all. Just like a wandering sparrow, one lonely star, I'll walk the straight and narrow to reach my goal. God's gift sent from above, one real unselfish love I found in a
moved about this world of ours.
and ever in search of the finest of its kind, we bring you the tops in Spine Chillers.
Now the door is slowly closing for Radio Masterpieces. But be sure and come back next week to hear more exciting mysteries and suspense. This is Bruce Kaplan signing off. I'm Radio Masterpieces is a Seattle Miracle Incorporated production.